yourself to us this morning, God. We love you. Walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall, but you have never failed me yet. Waiting for change to knowing the battle's won, for you have never failed me yet. Your promise still stands, great is your faithfulness, your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You've never failed me yet. Never failed me yet. I know the night won't last. Your word will come to pass, for you will sing your praise again. Oh, you're still enough, oh yes you are, Jesus, you're still enough. Hide me within your heart, will sing your praise again. Promise still stands, great is your faithfulness, your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands, this is my confidence. You never still stands, great is your faithfulness, your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands, this is my confidence, you never failed me yet, never failed me yet. Never fail me yet. Oh God, I see you move. You move. I'm still.
It's all about you.
be the center of your church, and every knee will bow, and every tongue shall confess you, Jesus.
Say that name,
Jesus. Whoa, Jesus, Jesus. Power in the name of Jesus, Jesus. Healing in the name of Jesus, Jesus. From my heart, from my heart to the heaven, Jesus, be the center.
How great thou art, how
Amen. You may be seated for a moment. We are going to dismiss our children to children's ministry. Lacey Nelson, is she here somewhere? There. Are the fourth, fifth graders staying? They are staying. Third graders are staying? Okay, all right. Had to clarify that, sorry. So we have the infants through 3 years old. They meet upstairs, and then everyone through second grade goes downstairs, everyone else. And then so if you're in the third, fourth, or fifth grade, you're standing here today to rock the house with Tim. We're excited. All right, you guys ready to go downstairs? Yay! What? Come on, let's hear it. Say amen! Amen. Hallelujah! Jesus rocks! Not bad, not bad. All right, let's pray for our children. Lord, we thank you for our kids. We thank you for the joy that is in them. We thank you for the wonderful things you're doing in them. And we pray that you'd continue to teach them and train them and equip them and then send them out to bless the nations around them. Lord God, you are so good. And you've given us so many kids here. And we pray that we would be good stewards of them, that we would hear your voice to be able to speak to them, and that we would hear what you're saying through them to us. God, bless them now. Cover and protect them, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right.
I spent a lot of time in the world, a lot of wasted time. I was a drug user and a drug seller, and one day I ended up in Folsom Prison, and I realized I made a mess of my life. But I remember the name of Jesus, and I asked Jesus what I needed to do to change my life. And he spoke to me and said, if you reach up and take my hand, I'll change your life. I wrote a song about what he told me that day in prison, and it's called Take My Hand, and it goes like this. I heard. Touch my hand. Of the great I am. Would you believe I've always been there for you? You see, I was hooked on drugs. I was homeless. I slept in abandoned buildings. But one day I called on the name of Jesus, and I took his hand, and he changed my life. I was addicted to cocaine, but I didn't have to go through a 12-step program. I took one step to Jesus Christ. He came into my heart. He filled the void and the hole in my heart, and he changed my life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, I am so blessed and so happy to be here. I've had the awesome privilege to travel with Pastor Joe for many, many years now. We were trying to figure out exactly how many years that was. We know more than 10 years. And we've been a part of a great mission, a part of a great evangelistic team, part of a great ministry in Japan, where we would go and teach the gospel, and Joe would preach the gospel, and I would sing. And it's been an awesome journey to travel with you, Pastor Joe, and to share God's good news to a country that has barely even skimmed the surface of being evangelized. Less than 1%, I believe, of the people there are Christians. And so that's how Joe and Pastor Joe and I met, and it's been a great journey through the years, partnering together and traveling to various places and sharing the gospel. So we had talked many times about the possibility of me being able to come to this church and to come to Yakima and to minister together, and I'm finally here and really happy and blessed to be here. I've heard so many different versions of Yakima that I'm a little confused. I heard Yakima, I heard Yakima, and so which one is it, church? Yakima. Okay, that is the official translation for me now, Yakima. The only thing I knew about Yakima prior to coming here is back home, I live in Orange County, which is a suburb of Los Angeles, and they have these luggage racks that go on top of cars and these ski racks, and they always say Yakima, and I'm like, Yakima, what is that, you know? But finally now, I'm honored and blessed to be here, and I've learned the proper pronunciation. It's Yakima. I'm not going to change it anymore, no matter what the stewardess says or the pilots on the airplane say, how they say it, it's Yakima, so I'm convinced. My name is Tim Kepler, and I am a gospel recording artist, and I have the privilege of traveling all over the world and sharing my testimony, and God kind of has me in a unique role. I, for many years, sang secular music and did the nightclub thing and stuff like that, but then when I got saved, I decided that there's nothing wrong with the secular music or anything, but for me, I just decided that I really wanted to use my gifts and my talents in the church. And when I did that, God began to really open up doors for me to travel all over the world and share my music and share my testimony. And it's kind of a real unique role. I'm kind of like an evangelist worship leader. I mean, people call me from all over the world, just like today, to come and share and help lead worship and participate with their worship team. And I had a great time with Trevor and the team, and it's been great. So I really embrace the role that God has called me to share and to use my voice and my talent for the body of Christ. My life wasn't always as it is today. When I was born, my mother gave birth to me in the hospital, and she left a note, and the note said, "Please find a good home for my son." And she left the hospital, and I never saw her again. And at about 2 weeks old, I was adopted by a very loving Christian family, the Kepler family. And they brought me into their home. They treated me very, very good. They bought me nice things, took me nice places, took me fishing, took me camping. I had more things than their kids had. Some of their kids were a little envious because when they were raising their own kids, they were poor and they didn't have much. But through the years, my dad became a teacher and a superintendent of schools. And so they ended up adopting three of us. And so they really treated us like their own kids. I had a great upbringing. They were Christians. They loved the Lord. They took me to church every weekend. We went to church, learned about Jesus. And I steered away from trouble for the most part all my years. And then one morning, early in the morning, I heard my mom and dad up. And I'm a really light sleeper, even today I am. And so I got up to see what was going on. And my dad was sitting in a chair in the kitchen, and my mom was standing behind him with her hand on his shoulder. And then as I walked in, I heard my dad say, "Honey, I believe I'm dying." And my dad fell over in the chair on the floor and died of a major heart attack. And I watched that whole thing. And that was the beginning of a transition in my life, because my dad was everything. He was my foundation. He was my rock. And when I lost my dad, I began to do things that I wasn't familiar with doing. I started ditching school, started getting in trouble. I started using drugs. I started smoking pot. And soon after, I started selling pot to support my habit. But something happened. When I was selling pot, I realized that I could make a lot of money. So for 10 years, I turned away from the plan that God originally had for my life. And I now know and understand that God has a perfectly designed plan for each and every one of our lives. He says he knew us in our mother's womb. So he has a perfectly designed plan orchestrated for each and one of us. And sometimes when we go through devastating things in our lives, we turn away from the plan that God had for us. And I turned away for 10 years. Now, when I sold drugs, I soon became a big marijuana dealer. I mean, I would buy 10, 15 pounds at a time. And I was making tons of money back then. I was driving around in a Porsche. I mean, gold chains, and I had, you know, music equipment and girls, and I just the party life, you know, and I didn't really have to go to a 9-to-5 every day. And I thought I had everything I needed, but I didn't. I now understand that we all have a God-shaped hole in our heart. And some of us today may say, "Well, I don't have a hole in my heart." But what I mean is there's that place, there's that void in our heart that only Christ can fill. And for me, I tried to fill that hole because of all the pain, that void was left there. And I tried filling that pain with drugs and partying and, you know, having a good time. But all those things were empty for my life. None of those things could fill the hole in my heart. None of those things could fill the void in my heart. So I continued to sell drugs. And for 10 years, I turned away from God's plan. And for 10 years, I sold drugs and I made lots of money, but my life was still empty. So one day I roll up in my Porsche, and I had a guitar case, and I filled that thing full of marijuana, and I walked into my apartment, and hello, the police were waiting there for me. Yeah, so handcuffed and taken to jail. I went to Riverside County Jail. But you see, I had managed to never get into any trouble. So they let me out on OR, and they, you know, they set a hearing, and they said, "Well, look, you've been pretty much a good guy up to this point, so we're going to let you out and don't get in any more trouble. You'll be on probation for 2 years. Okay, I got out, but what did I do? I went right back to what I knew, because that's what I knew. It was easy money for me, and I was still trying to fill that emptiness. I was still trying to fill that void in my heart. And what ended up happening is right around that time, a new drug came out that I was introduced to was crack cocaine. So I started dabbling in that, and before you know it, I was hooked on that. I lost everything. I lost my Porsche. I lost my apartment, and now I'm homeless on the streets of Riverside, California, sleeping in abandoned buildings. Every day I would wake up just to satisfy my drug need. And, you know, it's interesting now when I look back at that transition from how I was adopted and raised in a good family and then losing my father and then doing marijuana and then doing cocaine, and now I'm homeless and I'm wandering around on the streets of Riverside, California. And I ended up getting violating probation. So they said, okay, well, you're going to have to go to prison. I went to Riverside County Jail. I went from Riverside County Jail to Chino State Penitentiary. And Chino was a reception yard. And what that meant was, until they found a permanent place for you to serve out your time, you stayed there. And one day my number came up. They said, Kepler. And I had to yell out my number, E27358. It's funny how you never forget that number. E27358. They said, roll it up. I said, where am I going? They said, you're going to Folsom State Prison. I don't know if any of you know about Folsom, but that's a famous prison. Johnny Cash did a famous song about Folsom Prison. And Folsom is one of the oldest prisons probably in the country, next to probably Angola. And I wound up on a bus the next day, and the next morning I wound up behind the wall in old Folsom. I was in there with a cellmate that was in there for murder. And Folsom was a scary place, I have to be honest with you. There was all the prison cells, and then when they let you out for chow time, you'd walk down your prison cell, and on the opposite side of the prison cell was called a catwalk, and that's where the officers walked with their guns. And usually, the time that riots broke out or trouble broke out was in two places, on the yard or when they opened up all the prison cells on a whole prison block and all the inmates would congregate together to go down to chow. So when a fight broke out on the cell block, the officers on the catwalk, they would give you one warning shot and then they would shoot you. Just trying to paint a picture of the kind of place that I was in. And one day on my bed, I realized, you know what? This is not going to work for me. I don't want to live this life. I don't want to live my life in prison. And that's what that last song was all about, Take My Hand, because the Lord told me, if you take my hand, I'll change your life. If you take my hand, I'll show you who I am. If you take my hand, I'll wash away all of that stuff you've been through. I'll fill the hole. I'll fill the void in your heart. But you have to trust me, and you have to take my hand. And I want you to know that I took the hand of the great I am, and Jesus changed my life. He's an awesome God. He's a mighty God. I want to sing a song for you now on my You Made Everything CD called Awesome God.
When he rolls up his sleeves, he ain't putting on no Ritz. God is an awesome God. There's thunder in his footsteps and lightning in his fist. And the Lord wasn't joking when he kicked him out of Eden. It wasn't for no reason that he shed his blood. His return is very close, so you better be believing. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God, he's an awesome God. In the void of the night, our God is an awesome God. He spoke into the darkness and created the light. Our God is an awesome God. Judgment and wrath he poured out on Sodom. Mercy and grace he gave us at the cross. I hope that we have not too quickly forgotten. Our God is an awesome God. Our God
some God he reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God, he's an awesome God. Our God, he's an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
Our God is an awesome God. Awesome God.
Thank you. God truly is an awesome God, and I can say that because he's done so many great things in my life. So let me just give you a picture of when I finally was released from prison. It was my day to go. It was time to go. And they put us in a lineup, and the last words I heard were, "Well, you'll be back." And I want to tell you, those words scared me, because the reality is about 80 to 90% of men that go to prison go back. It's just a revolving door. And once you get into that, it's really hard to get out. And I got out of prison. I lost my dad. And what I didn't share earlier is 2 years after my dad died, my mom passed. My dad died when I was 16. My mom died when I was 18. These are my foster parents, but they were my mom and dad. And so when I got out of prison, I had gate money that they give you, because you work a little bit in there, and they give you a little bit every day, a couple bucks or something. And I had about $250, I think, and a bus ticket back to Riverside, California. And I got off the bus, and I told myself I was going to live for the Lord. But there's a scripture in the Bible that tells us that there's a war between the spirit and the flesh. And what I've learned is whatever is stronger in us is what we operate in. That's why the Word of God says never forsake to assemble yourself among the saints. Because when we come together, we come to church, iron sharpens iron. We build each other up. We build up our faith. We build up our knowledge of God. And so we can be stronger in faith than in the flesh. And I got off of that bus and I went straight to the crack house and I got high. Not because I didn't love the Lord, but because there was that war that was going on inside of me. And with everything inside of me, I did not want to do drugs, but I was fighting that battle. And I got into after getting out of prison, you have to do a drug test. So I went in to do my drug test. How did my drug test come out? Dirty. That's right. It was dirty. But I had a cool pro officer. He was like, "Man," he's like, "You just should have told me up front." But he goes, "Look, I'm going to give you another chance. I'm not going to violate you. I'm not going to send you back to prison. But you need to go to the halfway house." And a halfway house is a place where you go where you're not incarcerated, you're not in prison, but you're in a kind of a monitored house where you can stay. And they have rules. Man, they have a lot of rules in there. Whoo, they have a lot of rules. One of the rules is you have to go to church on Sunday. So I found this little church. It was a four-square church, and I started going to church. And I want to be honest with you. I would go to church, Bible study, men's study. I got into the choir. I was there on Sunday. And then when I got out, I was partying and doing drugs. And one day I walked into the church and I sat way in the back. And the pastor was preaching. And then he gave an altar call and he said, you know, I want to pray for some people today to be delivered. And then he looked me in the back. Hey, you, come up here. I'm like, what? So he's praying, going down the line and praying for everybody. And he got to me and he looked at me. And I want to tell you something. The Holy Spirit will tell on you in a minute. Because I didn't tell him what I needed prayer for. I was sitting in the back trying to hide what I was going through. And he got to me and he said, Lord, he put his hands on me and he said, Lord, deliver this brother from drugs today. And he prayed for me. And I was kind of embarrassed, you know, because I really didn't want anyone to know. But the Holy Spirit knew. And I believe that the Holy Spirit told the man of God exactly what I needed prayer for. And you know what? I was set free that day from drugs. That was the beginning for me of change for me in my life. Amen. So I continued to go to that church and some great things happened. I met my wife there and I have two kids. I have a 26-year-old who's works for a great company that just moved to Texas and he's got an awesome, awesome job. He graduated from Cal State Fullerton for computer science. I have a 22-year-old that graduated from Life Bible College, has his bachelor's degree, and just left to Yale University to get his master's degree in theology and music. And I'm leaving when I get back to go to New York and Connecticut to visit him. And God has just done some amazing things. I only could have accomplished what I've accomplished in my life through Christ alone, because without him, I would have nothing and I would be nothing. And I think when we come to the place in our life where we're vulnerable to the Holy Spirit and we allow the Holy Spirit to come in and do a work in our heart, that great change can happen and God can use us for the kingdom. Amen. So, Lord, I just thank you for what you're doing in my life. And none of this would be possible only through Christ alone.
Christ alone will I glory, for only by his grace I am redeemed. Only his tender mercy can reach beyond my weakness to my need. And oh, I could stop and count successes like diamonds in my hands, but these trophies could not equal to the grace by which I stand. In Christ alone I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the in every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength, my source of hope is Christ alone. Christ alone will I glory. For only by his grace I am redeemed. It's only his tender mercy could reach beyond my weakness to my need. And now I seek no greater honor just to know him more than to count my gains and losses for the glory of my Lord. In Christ alone I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross.
in every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength, my source of hope is Christ alone. I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory, let it be said of me, my source of source of hope is Christ alone. My source of strength, my source of hope is Christ alone.
I'd like to do another song for you now, but I need your help. Will you help me? Man, that was only like three people. Will you help me? Okay, I need you guys to sing. Will you sing? That was like four people. Will you sing? Okay, I need you guys to try this. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. That was pretty good, Pastor Joe. Not bad, man. Man, you should have a big choir here, man. Oh, no, don't do that one. No, don't do that one. Very good, church. This song is a very popular secular song, and I liked it so much. I changed some of the words, and I put it on my newest CD, Refined. But the words are, some people travel around the world for love, but they may never find what they dream of. But I came back to let you know that there's a Lord out there and he loves you so. My friends wonder about this change in me. Well, I found his love and his grace, you see. But I came back to let you know that there's a Lord out there and he loves you so. Are you ready? Here we go. Come on. Come on, put them hands together. Oh, yeah, pump it up. Just give me a little bit more music. Come on. Here we go. Let me hear you sing. Come on. Search to find love in sin, but check it out. I came back to let you know there's a Lord out there and he loves you so. Oh yeah. My friends wonder about this change in me. Well, I found his love, I found his grace, you see. There's a Lord out there, and he loves you so. Some people wander around the world for love. They may never find what they dream of. What you won't do, do for love. Lord, you gave up everything when you came from above. Who in this world could do for love what I could not do? sometimes we do crazy things for love.
Oh yeah. What you won't do for love. What you won't do for love. Oh yeah.
Come on, sing with me. Here we go. Here we go. Awesome. All right. Well, I got a new choir, Pastor Joe. I know where to recruit them from. You know, when I got out of prison, I needed to work, and I didn't really have a lot of skills, but I always remember as a kid helping my dad paint. So I would go around. I had a bucket and a roller, and I would go around to buildings that had graffiti on them, and I would offer to paint over the graffiti. And a lot of places would say no, but many would say yeah. So I started painting over graffiti, and some days I'd make a couple $100, and then I decided I would try to get a contractor's license, and I went to school, and bang, I passed my contractor's test with the state, and I got a contractor's license, and then I started painting, like, you know, people's garage doors and fences, and then I started painting homes, and then I started painting multi-million dollar custom homes down in Orange County for people like Mark McGuire on the street that he lived on, and one guy named Mr. Zadro, who created Zadro's fogless shaving mirror. Who sits in the shower and shaves and goes, geez, I wish this mirror wouldn't fog up. Oh, I got an idea. I'll hook the hot water line to the mirror, and it'll circulate around it, and it won't fog up. Who thinks of that? He made millions. Worked for that guy, and, you know, God began to bless my business, and I ended up hiring lots of people, and I started doing commercial jobs. And, you know, God is in the business of blessing us. And when we take his hand and we realize that he's awesome, and we realize that in him alone can we do things, he wants to prosper us. And he's our daddy. He's our father. He's Abba Father. And he wants us to call out, and he wants us to cry out to him, and he wants us to realize that he is our supplier of everything that we need. And I just want to share a little bit of the word with you this morning. And the title of the message that I have is called, What Testimony Has God Given You? Because our testimonies are powerful. And one of my favorite stories is the woman at the well. And we're going to read from John 4, and we're going to start out on verse 4 through 26. Okay? I'll give you a minute to find that. Is it up on the screen yet? Not there. So John 4, okay. So I'm going to just read here. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, but Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus saw her. "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? The Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it was that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, and did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up into eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty." Now, this woman has no clue who she's speaking to at this point. And Jesus tries to give her a little bit of insight to kind of see where she's at. And I like how Jesus asks her questions. He asks her questions, and they're questions that he already knows the answer to. I love that, because he's testing her. He's testing her to find out where her heart is. So let's keep reading. The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go call your husband." Now, this is the part I love, because he already knows the answer to this. He says, "Go call your husband and come back." And the woman answered honestly, which Jesus was testing her heart. And the lady said, "I have no husband," she replied. And Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet." She still doesn't get it. "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshiped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus says, "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. The Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and the worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah called Christ is coming." She still doesn't get it. "When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, I am he." Now let's stop right there. This was taken in a time where you didn't have the Sparklets water truck pulling up to your house to drop off bottles. How many of us do that? You guys do that here? Maybe you have good water in Southern Cal. You do not drink the tap water. Okay, I probably have five bottles on my porch now. This was at a time when there's no public sewer system. There's no public water running to the house. There's no water. And if you want water, you have to go draw it somewhere. Now, I'm getting to a point here. The point is that I really perceive that it was very premeditated, that this woman planned her day around going the next day to get water. Tell me some of the things you can't do if you do not have water. Someone tell me. Some things you cannot do, daily chores, if you don't have water. Can't do clothes? Can't make coffee? That's right. Someone? That's right. You can't live. I love that answer. Someone else? You can't do dishes. What else? Can't wash your car. Someone said bathe. You can't bathe. Listen, water is like a key staple in life. How many of you would agree with that? I mean, if you don't have water, man, there's a whole list of things you cannot do. You can't get clean, can't wash your car, you can't wash your clothes, you can't water your animals or your pets or your livestock, you can't do anything. So I imagine that this woman scheduled her day around going to get water, and it was a long walk to Jacob's well to draw water so she could take it back to her house so that she could do her daily functions. So this is a pretty important task for the day. It was probably the one thing that she had on her list that was the most important thing to do of her day, was to go and draw water. Verse 4, 28 through 30. Number 28 says, So this is what happened. She went there to draw her water. She had this encounter with Jesus. And Jesus kind of asked her questions, which he knew the answer to, just to kind of see where she was at. And then blew her mind when he gave her the answers. And, whoa, how did you know that? You must be a prophet, da-da-da-da-da. And he blew her mind. And then it says in verse 28, then leaving her water jar. Now, I read that many a times, and it was never significant until I really thought about the importance of her going to that well. The importance of her going to that well. She had one specific task, one thing to do on her list. It was the most important thing of the day, is to go get water. Water so she could drink. Water so she could cook. Water so she could clean. Water so she could bathe. It was the most important thing she had to do that day, was go to Jacob's well to get water. And after meeting Jesus Christ, then leaving her water jar. Because what happened is there was a transition in her life where what she thought was the most important thing for the day became secondary. And the most important thing that ended up taking its place was sharing the testimony about the man that I met at the well. And so many times we have things in our life that we feel are of great importance. And Jesus is saying, no, I have something for you today that is more important than what you have on your plan today. Maybe you were going to wash your car, and maybe Jesus is saying, I have something more important for you today. Let's read on. Sometimes when we set out our plan, we set out on our plan, but God gives us a purpose. The lady, then leaving her water jar, the woman went back into town and said to the people, come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? They came out of the town and made their way toward him. 39, many of the Samaritans from the town believed him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them. And he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. So the title of this short message is, what testimony has God given you? Because many of us don't realize the power of our words, the power of our testimony. Because no one can refute our testimony when we say, look, I had this bill to pay. I didn't know how I was going to pay it. And I prayed that God would make a way. And miraculously, the money came from out of nowhere, and I was able to pay the bill. No one can refute that. And those words, when we share our testimony, are powerful. And I want to encourage you today. God has given each and every one of us a testimony. God has given each and every one of us something that we can share with someone. And when we share our testimony with people, it builds them up. It lets them see the power of God in their life. And it can draw people to Christ. And that's what Christ wants to do today. He wants to use each and every one of us as ministers of the gospel. So I want to encourage you today to share your testimony. Some of you may say, well, I never really been through anything. I don't have a testimony. And with my background with drugs and stuff, I tell them, that's a testimony. How did you go a whole lifetime without doing drugs and going to jail? That in itself is a testimony, because there's so many people who are dealing with alcoholism and drugs and all kinds of crazy things. And whatever you can share with them to strengthen them,
it's beneficial to them. It's beneficial to the body of Christ. Amen? Amen. I'd like to share another song with you now. Name of the song is called Friend of God. I'm sure many of you will recognize this song. Come on, put them hands together.
So glad I'm a friend of God. Mindful of me, that you hear me when I call. Is it true that you are thinking of me, how you love me? Oh Lord, it's amazing. Is it true that you are thinking of me? Oh, how you love me. Oh, Lord, it's amazing. I am a friend of God.
Come on, sing with me.
I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God.
God, he called me friend.
Come on, let me hear you.
I
Thank you so much. I've had a great time being with you this morning. God bless you. Thank you.
Nailed it.
All right.
First try.
Good job. I have a degree in audio engineering. Wow. John was real worried about having you up here. Says this is weird. You know, I don't know how well he can sing. He's black. I don't know. What are we going to do about this guy?
I don't know.
I said, John, we got to do it. You know, it took 5-6 years. We finally talked. Right. But he asked respectfully if you would quit calling him honky. Is that all right? Can you?
I think I can do
okay,
that.
Okay, all right, good deal, man. Man, like 10 years ago, we were in Hawaii, right?
Yep.
Wasn't that about 10 years ago? And you were flying back and forth, right, and doing stuff, and I was flying over every weekend, and it was working to do this event at Waikiki Beach called Festival of Hope and Light. And Tim was a part of the team, Rod Brown, and who did Caleb didn't make that, but a bunch of, Doc Powell was there, that was right. Gary was there, Gary Love, Shannon was there, his wife that's not here today. Austin was there, there she is. And Chelsea, her sister, and a bunch of people, they'd lived there for a while. And it was my job to go out and connect with the English-speaking churches since the Japanese churches in Japan had invited these guys in to do this huge outreach. And all these professional jazz musicians are coming. And so I was, you know, I'm out selling these guys to the churches. You got to have these guys.
Can I tell them my little part before you finish?
I don't know, man. I want to embarrass you before you embarrass me.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Go ahead. So I had been going back and forth to Hawaii, and I had been affiliated with a couple churches there. And so my wife and I were walking in, and we'd go for long walks, and we were walking, and we got tired. It was hot that day, so we tried to catch a bus, and the bus stopped, and we stepped on the bus, and they said, no, you got to take the next bus. Now, I could have got really upset because there was room for us on the bus, and I was like, okay. So anyway, we stepped off. I don't know why she asked us that, but anyway, we stepped off, and we continued to walk, and when we got into Waikiki, we saw these beautiful blue tents and some kind of festival going on. And I caught eyes with a guy I knew from a church. He was volunteering as the sound man. And he goes, hey, Tim, come on over. Let me introduce you to this pastor. And we're doing this big surf meet. And so he goes, gets the pastor, and he's like, hey, you should let my friend Tim sing. And I'm like, what? Come on, man. I'm just walking in Waikiki. So anyway, the pastor looks at me, and he goes, yeah. He kind of looked at me like, I'm not letting him sing. I don't even know this guy, you know. So then he prays, oh, Lord, well, bless this guy. And he just turns around and walks away. Then about 10, so I'm just checking out the bands. And 10 minutes later, he comes up and he goes, hey, one of our bands didn't show up. Do you want to do one song? So anyway, I ended up doing like a whole concert in Waikiki. And so he went out and he said, he tells the story. He says, I was out doing a surf meet with the heavyweights and guys that I have been trying to minister to for years, and you shared your testimony, and they were just like blown away. And he goes, I ran back to find you, but you were gone. I left. Now you go.
All right. That was how many, was that a couple of years before the Hawaii Revival Mission? Yeah. So anyway, I'm over there working with these guys, and I go to the church there, the Wayne Cadero's Four Square Church there. And they hooked me up with this guy named Roy Yamamoto. And Roy has got an incredible story of himself, of how the Lord really saved him in prison, right? And
who happens to be the pastor that I met on the beach that day.
Yeah. And so I'm saying, you know, he's wanting to do some stuff. He says, I got this camp coming up. And he has a camp where he brings in kids that their parents are incarcerated in prison, and he treats them like kings. They're awesome, and you're seeing these kids a lot, right? You know, the same kids over and over, and helping them out. And I go, well, I got a guy for you to come sing in this thing. And I tell him, and Tim Kepler.
He's volunteering me without me knowing it.
Yeah, Tim could come and be your vocalist, you know. And Roy goes, I know that guy. I've been looking for him for 2 years. So we hook him up, and I tell, hey, Tim, I got you booked to go sing at this guy's camp.
Yeah, right.
And he's like, all right. So then I kind of knew it was going to be a little bit of trouble, but I was kind of trying to play it down. Cause I says, they want you to bring a sleeping bag, Tim. Because usually, like, the guests, you know, you get a little room, you know, that kind of thing. I'm thinking, okay, well, maybe they just need a sleeping bag because they don't have bedding. Well, the next thing I know, I go back the next day. Actually, I drop Tim off, and they tell Tim, he says, okay, we're assigning you 6 of the hardest kids, and you are their, what did they call you? What are you? Mentor. And you will be sleeping in this tent with them in the jungles of Hawaii where it rains every day. And one of my early memories of Tim is I'm driving away in the rental car, and he's standing in the road. But I came back the next day.
I was still alive.
He was still alive, and he was doing awesome. And you go back
every year,
and Roy's doing stuff in other countries and other states, and you guys are expanding, and you're still ministering all over the place and doing awesome stuff.
But Pastor Joe, what I find so awesome is that Roy and I had connected at the beach, but if I would have really been persistent after getting kicked off that trolley, I probably could have got on the trolley. And had I got on the trolley, I would have passed all those beautiful blue tents and that guy that I knew. I never would have met Pastor Roy. But because I was obedient, basically, I didn't turn to the flesh and go, I want to get on this bus right now. I received a huge blessing. Mm-hmm. And so I look back so many times where God does something that we may not like, but he has something better for us on the other side. Yeah.
Listen to your spirit and check your flesh, huh? Amen. Well, it's a tradition of what we do at Valley Life. I have some ushers come. And man, Tim is just one of the guys we really want to sow into because of the impact he's making with his life. It's unreal. And actually, we would have had him here sooner, but he was a little nervous that he'd end up sleeping in a tent somewhere out in the sagebrush. But we finally convinced him we have hotels here and indoor plumbing. But anyway, it's our tradition to give. And I like the reality, you know, we could just write him a check from the church, but it's so important for you to connect in prayer and with your pocketbook. And so you could write a check to Valley Life. It'll get to Tim. It'll be in this offering. You can text, right, John? As it's on the directions on that little card, and I think there is a special guest code that will get to him, those kinds of things. But we want to do that. We want to support him. We want to have him back, you know. I mean, this is just fun. But we also want to, you know, just somehow connect and with whatever we are. We're just a little church in Yakima, Washington, man. But we want to hook up and be involved and support you and let you know we're there. So why don't you guys stand up? You can do that. And band's going to lead us again, Jim and the band. We're going to worship together, and we're going to just take an offering. Let me pray, and then we'll do that. Father God, we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you do miraculous things that are beyond our understanding. And Lord, we don't often know exactly what's going to happen and where it's going to go, but Lord, we just need to listen with our spirit, see with our spiritual eyes and listen with our spiritual ears. And Lord, we ask that we would be given that grace to do that. And we thank you so much that you've done that in Tim's life, that he is such a rich example for us, such a rich forerunner for us in being led in the area of bringing a testimony of the good news of Jesus into places we would never dream we could be. Bless him, Lord. Bless his family, Lord Jesus. And we just pray that he would continue to just grow in his influence around the world, Lord, as he's ministering to people. Thank you, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.
blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel.
Sing. That's awesome. You know, I try to sing like that, or when he sings like that, you know, it's like people, you feel the presence of the Lord. Isn't that true? And, you know, you want to call on the name of the Lord, but when I try to sing like that, they call 911 because I'm pretty sure I'm dying. So thank you for being with us. And Tim's going to be in the back. He's all right. He's got some CDs, and there's several CDs back there. And so if you'd like to grab one of those, that'd be awesome. And ask him some questions. And thank you once again for being here. Whoa, he's tagged. Woo! We got him tethered. Yeah, see, he was running. We'll get him undone there. Anyways, thank you once again for being here. And I just really appreciate what he said about every one of you has a story. Every one of you has a testimony. Don't be afraid to share what God is doing in your life. People need to hear what Jesus is doing in you. And also, don't be afraid to allow Jesus to work in you in the first place. You know, I don't know where you're at with the Lord. Some people in here have been walking with Jesus for a long, long time. And some people are still kind of trying to figure out, do I want to go there yet? But I encourage you that Jesus is amazing. He is loving and gracious, and he wants to make your life whole. He wants to set you free. He wants to give you life like you've never dreamed possible. And then he wants to speak through you that same love and grace to everyone around you. You don't have to be an evangelist. You don't have to be specifically anointed, you know, to go out there and share. We have. I'm telling you, go. Get her done. Go out there and let people know how awesome and amazing Jesus is by sharing your story. And never underestimate the little things he's doing in your life. Never, ever, ever. Amen.